This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for hosting me. We just landed from a planet called New York, and we were asked to speak about a very exciting subject. The most exciting subject, tefillah. And I know at first glance, tefillah doesn't sound like the most exciting subject. It's something we do every day, three times a day, day in, day out. Shachris mincha marav, shachris mincha marav. And the Gemara Brachos and that Vavam Abiz aptly describes tefillah as dvarim ha'im din berumai shal oilam v'nei adam ezazlan bahem. These are matters that sit at the summit of the world. These are the most important matters that we are involved with regularly. And yet we trample on it. We don't take it seriously. We have a hard time having kavana. We have a hard time focusing on the words. We have a hard time finding it something that's meaningful to us. So what can we do to try to elevate our appreciation for tefillah, to try to value it more, to try to be more focused on it, to try to put ourselves more into it? The Baal Shem Tov writes, "Boy ata v'chol beischa el ateva." Literally, Hashem commands Noach, you and your family should come into the ark. The Baal Shem Tov explains on a deeper level that when you daven, you need to enter the words of tefillah with your entire entity, with the entire being. In other words, how often is it that we say the words of davening and we can honestly agree, we've just put in about 10% of ourselves into the tefillah, leaving another 90% out of the words. Boy ata v'chol beischa el ateva. Come, you come, and everything about you, your mind, your heart, your emotions, your focus, everything about the person has to enter the words of davening. Now the first thing a person has to do, you know, I don't really have kavana. No kidding. I don't know if this happens in England, and truth is I could say whatever I want, because I'm going home tomorrow night, and if you don't invite me back, I'll be invited somewhere else. But the first important, really, Kabbalah a person has to make when it comes to davening is one cannot have access to a device during the time of davening. I cannot understand for the life of me how people bring a phone into a shul. I don't like when they announce, everyone put your phone on vibrate. No, don't put your phone on vibrate. You can't bring a phone into a Beis HaKnesses. Davening is la'avdoi b'chol avavchem, to serve God with all your heart. Now, we have a hard time serving Hashem with all of our heart, but at least give yourself a fighting chance to serve Hashem with all your heart. If a person has a phone on them and it's buzzing and they could be getting messages, they have not attempted to daven. It's not that they davened distracted. They did not daven. That's not a tefillah. Sorry, I'm not here to give anybody mussar. Thank you very much. But I think that's step number one. Step number one is you got to give yourself a fighting shot. If you have the phone on the table, so that as you're saying the words, you see when it lights up, you see when it vibrates, you have not even attempted to daven. So, if you're ready to take that upon yourself, we can progress to the next step. Otherwise, it's not even an attempt to daven. Thank you, Josh. Let's begin with the following question. We're going to take a poll. I'm going to ask a very personal question, and you're required to answer it. And in England, everybody's very, you know, proper. In America, we ask very personal questions immediately. And that is, V'atem tiyuli malechas kayanim megoy kadosh. You should be for me a kingdom of priests. Please raise your hand. Who here is a kayhin? Now only, that's a pretty high percentage. We have four kayhanim. Out of a room of about 100, we have four kayan. Bas kayan is not a kayan. Bas kayan is very, you can eat truma, you're not a, how many kayan? We have had four kayan. And God tells the Jewish people, he looks at us in the face, and he tells us with a straight face, you guys, v'atem tiyuli mamleches kayanim, you're a nation of kayanim. I don't understand. I'm a Yisrael. Surprisingly, my son is also a Yisrael. My other son, coincidentally, is also a Yisrael. And my father was a Yisrael. It's amazing. What are the chances? You know, you could flip a coin and every time it gets to heads, we're all Yisrael. My grandfather was Yisrael. All the way back to David HaMelech, we're all Yisraelim. And the majority of the Jewish people are Yisraelim. So what does the Ribbono Shel mean? You will be a Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of Kohanim. Rashi says it means Sarim, princes, important people. You're all important people. But nevertheless, Ein mikra yotze midei pshutai. We know there's a rule that a pasuk has a very literal meaning. With all the drashos and all the ramazim and all the soidos, ein mikra yotze midei pshutai. And if God wanted to say that you're important, He could have said, V'atem tihiyu li mamleches chashuvim. You're all important. You know what chashuv means. Chashuv means nothing. Right? V'atem tihiyu li mamleches chashuvim. But it doesn't say that. It says, V'atem tihiyu li mamleches kohanim. So how are we a kohen? So let us begin what I call the journey of tefillin. We wake up in the morning, and the first thing we do is, even before we walk Dalet Amos, we wash Negel Maser. We wash our hands because our hands have Ruach Ra'ah. Because the moment the Neshama leaves the body at night, so now the body becomes a vacuum and the Koyches HaTumah are attracted to the body, and you wake up in the morning, just tell them I'm not available right now. The Neshama comes back into the body, and the Neshama banishes all the koiches hatumah, and the koiches hatumah are left on the fingers, so you wash them off. That's why in the morning you're not allowed to touch your eyes, your ears, your mouth, any orifice of the body before you wash negel vaser. We don't touch food before we wash negel vaser. Even if your eyes are closed, you're not allowed to touch your eyes. Even if your ears are closed, you can't put your hands on your ears. First thing you do in the morning is we wash negel vaser. However, before we daven shachris, we are required to wash our hands again, a second time. You know that? Before you daven shachris, you're required. So you wake up, you wash negel vaser, then you take care of your needs, your bodily needs, you get dressed. And when you're ready to daven, either right before you leave your house or right when you get to shul, you wash your hands and you say, Baruch atah Hashem alakeinu melech haolam asher kedeshanu mitzvah sadat tzivanu al netilas yadayim. Well, what's going on? You're gonna eat before shachris? You're about to eat, make hamoitzi? Why are you saying Netilas Yadayim? You're not to eat before Shachris. According to the Rambam, it's Kamada Doiraisa not to eat before Shachris. Le'soichlu al Adam. So why would we make a bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim before Shachris? This is the question of the Tshuvas HaRajva, Chilak Alef Sim Kuf Tzadi Aleph. And the Rajva is very bothered by this question. He really cannot understand why would we have to make a bracha of Netilas Yadayim in the morning. And the Rajva says, the reason is because when we wake up in the morning, we become Beria Chadasha. We're a new creation. Now that's a very important concept. That's a very encouraging, inspirational concept. Because even if today I failed in my Avodas Hashem, and I didn't act the way I should have, I didn't speak the way I should have, doesn't matter. Past performance has no bearing on future outcome. Tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow I'm a new person. The Ben Ish Chai writes, I'm given a new neshama tomorrow. So I wake up in the morning, I have a new neshama. I'm a Beria Chadasha. And we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He created us to serve Him. So now, basically, as I'm getting up in the morning, I need to inaugurate myself as a Eved of Hashem. How does a servant of Hashem inaugurate themselves? Well, let's look at what they do in the Beis HaMikdash. How do the Kohanim inaugurate their service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning? They wash their hands from the Kiyar. Therefore, says the Rajba, every morning before we daven Shachris, we are like Kohanim about to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and we are required to wash our hands like a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, wait a second. I'm not a Kohen though. And I'm not going to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to the Shul. The Shul is a Mikdash Ma'at. One has to honor the Shul Midoiraisa, just like the Beis HaMikdash. And I am going to Daven, and Davening is an Avodah, so in a way, maybe, am I like a Kohen? Every single morning, every Jew, man and woman, is required to wash their hands and say Netilas Yadayim, like a Kohen who enters the Beis HaMikdash. Now let's fast forward to a little bit further on in Davening, and I want to speak out the most misunderstood halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Simen Tzadi Dalet. Bekumay lehispalo, when you get up to Daven. Im hayoyme b'chutz la'aretz, if you live in the diaspora. By the way, London is chutz la'aretz. You know that? London is not Eretz Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer says, L'asad Lavoi, Eretz Yisrael will expand. But right now, you are standing in Chutz La'aretz. Tzarech lachzor panav keneged Eretz Yisrael. When Yadav need to face Israel, right? So everybody faces Mizrach. The yechavin gam l'Yerushalayim. You know, you need to be mechavin to Yerushalayim also. Ula mikdash, and to the Beis HaMikdash. Ula Beis Kodshei Kodashim, and to the Holy of Holies. Let me tell you how almost everybody misunderstands this halacha. Most people read this halacha. When you daven Shemona Esrei, you need to face Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now should I face Haifa? Should I face Eilat? No, face Yerushalayim. Okay, I'm facing Yerushalayim. Now, should I face Mamila Mall? Should I face the Sanhedria Gardens? Or should I face the Beis Hamikdash? Okay, now I'm facing the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, now I need to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So could somebody please tell me how it's possible to face Yerushalayim without facing the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim? Is that what the Shulchan Aruch is saying? You have to be specific, and even more specific, and even more specific. But that's how most people misread the Shulchan Aruch. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch means, Bechlal. He's not saying you should face Yerushalayim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zok the Mishnah Berurah. You know what it means? You should be mechavin toward Yerushalayim. Yachshoiv beliboy v'rayoino. You should think in your heart and your mind. Ki'ilu hu oimid ba'mikdash asher b'Yerushalayim b'makom kodesh hakadoshim. When you take three steps back, and then you take the three steps forward, you should imagine yourself standing in the Holy of Holies. Well, that sounds like a very mystical practice. Maybe only Mikubalim do it. Yeah, only Jews who follow the Shulchan Aruch are supposed to do that. That's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. That when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you should not face Yerushalayim and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You should imagine that you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But I never thought that in my whole life. You're still Yotzei, don't worry. But you weren't Yotzei L'Chachila. And from now on, you could fulfill a simple halacha in Shulchan Aruch. That when you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you imagine yourself standing in the Holy of Holies. That is how the Mishnah Berurah reads the Shulchan Aruch. But wait a second. It's not Yom Kippur. It's the middle of Kislev. So why would I be standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And I'm not a Kohen Gadol. I'm not even a Kohen. I'm not allowed to go there. I'm allowed to go there? But apparently, while we're limited in action, and we might be limited in reality, we are unlimited in the machshava that we're supposed to have when we daven. Part of the reason why we have a hard time having kavana when we daven is because we have absolutely no idea what we're doing when we daven. You know, it's like people, they go to an art museum, and they're looking at it, and they have no appreciation for it. Of course not. They never studied it. They don't know what it means. So it's very hard to have kavana when you daven if one is not educated about what the purpose of davening is. So I'm very educated. I went to Beis Yaakov for 30 years. I learned in Kollel for 20 years. That's very nice because you learned the Zion Yeshiva Shemasechtas and you learned what they taught you in Beis Yaakov, but they never taught what davening is, ever. So all you need is 40 minutes. Not even. 20 minutes, we'll do the trick. Tonight we're going to learn what is davening. You know, davening is avoidah. What's the avoidah? I'm sitting in my seat. It's actually the most relaxing time of the day. See, now that I turned off my phone, I actually have peace of mind for 20 minutes. What's the avoida of davening? Why do we call it avoida? Isn't avoida karbonos? Isn't avoida connected to the Beis HaMikdash? That's exactly the point. You see, we've just created two bookends, where davening begins when you wake up in the morning and you wash your hands like a kohen about to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and davening ends when you daven the Shemoneh Esrei and you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, do you really think that the only thing davening is you start in the Chatzar, washing your hands from the Kiyar, and then at the end you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the whole middle part is unimportant? Obviously, davening is a journey through the Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the most fundamental ideas we need to know about davening, is that each part of davening corresponds to a different part of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we need to know at every juncture of davening where in the Beis HaMikdash we're standing and how we're progressing through the Beis HaMikdash until we reach the summit and the climax of Shemoneh Esrei standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's what we would like that's the journey that I'd like to take you through this evening. Does everyone have one of these beautiful maps of the Beis HaMikdash? I'll be back in a few years and we'll get it then. No. Does someone next to you have a... No. The ladies didn't get. There are a few over there. Whatever ladies didn't get, they know it. No?
Sorry. Anyone?
The men share over there?
Okay, we'll try to be as clear as possible.
Hold on.
However, Victor Miller, Zeichel Tzadik Lebracha, when I was a bachur, I came back from Eretz Yisrael, so I had this chus to walk to Rav Miller Shul in Flatbush every Shabbos for about 3 years. And it was really an opportunity of a lifetime. It was Me'ein Olam Haba. And Rav Miller in the Sefer Shari Oira really brings out this idea that when the Chumash says, V'atem tiyu li mamleches koyhanim, this is not an allegory, it's not hyperbole, it's not a symbolic, but there's a certain reality that every single Jew is a koyhan. Here's a few of Rav Miller's points. You know, many of the Lavin in the Torah that were given to Kohanim, let's say that they can't use a razor on their face or they can't shave their head, were then repeated to all of Klal Yisrael. The Isser of Upa'as Sukhanam Lo Yigalechu, the Isser of Uvivsaram Lo Yisutu Saratas, was first given to the Kohanim and then it was repeated for all of Klal Yisrael. So if certain lavim are given to all of Klal Yisrael, why would Ribbono Shel Olam single out the Kohanim and then say, oh, Kohanim, you also don't use a razor on your face. Nobody's allowed to use a razor on their face. And there are a number of examples like this. For example, in Sefer Yecheskel, it says, Kohanim can't eat a nevela. And the Gemara says they wanted to be goyne Sefer Yecheskel because nobody's allowed to eat a nevela. Why does it say Kohanim are not allowed to eat a nevela? And there are a number of lavim in the Torah that are said to Kohanim, and then said to all of Klal Yisrael. And Rav Miller says the point of that is to emphasize the idea that Ribbono Shel Olam, once he says Kohanim are not going to do it, he then wants to say all of Klal Yisrael can't do it because in a certain dimension, we are all Kohanim as we enter the Beis HaMikdash every single day, really, the Machshava, in the same way the Kohanim do in reality. So let's begin the journey. And if you look on your map of the Beis HaMikdash, the first area of the Beis HaMikdash is called the Ezras Noshim. What takes place in the Ezras Noshim? The Gemara in Sukkah says on Daf Nun Aleph that the king would read Sefer Devarim there once every 7 years on Matzah Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkot. But what happened there the rest of the year? In the Ezras Noshim, it says, Hine Baruchu es Hashem, kol avdei Hashem, ha'oimdim beveis Hashem ba'leilos. Those who really wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they would come to the Beis HaMikdash very early. They would come 2 o'clock, 3 a.m. And what would they do there? Doesn't mean they would stand. It means they would say Tehillim, they would say Tchinois, they would say Bakashois. And this all took place in the Ezras Noshim. That was the first stage of entry into the Beis HaMikdash. And every single morning, we also have a chilek of davening that corresponds to the Ezras Noshim. What is that? What chilek of davening corresponds to the Ezras Noshim? When you say Adon Olam, Al Netil Siyadayim, Elokei Neshama, the extra Tehillim that people say, that is the entry into the Ezras Noshim. So we come into shul. So he said, well, wait a second. That means I have to come to shul before it starts. You got it, pal. In order to fulfill the objective of avodah properly, you can't roll in after the fact. You got to be preemptive. You have to be there in the Ezras Noshim in advance of the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, take a look at your maps. You see 15 steps leading up from Ezras Noshim to Shar Niknar. 15 steps. What are these 15 steps? You ready? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Nasan La'asach Yina Afchid Ben Yom Vein Loila. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Goy. Shasani Yavish, Shasani Isha. Kayachirim, Malbish, Rim, Matir Asurim. And until the 15th bracha, Hagoy Mel Chasadim Toivim Ma'am Yisrael. Those 15 bracha brachas Hashachar take you up the 15 steps from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael. Otherwise, you can't get there. Now, this approach is based on two very important svarim. The first to lay it out is the Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. In Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Siddur, I highly recommend everybody own a Siddur of Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He gives you on the top of every page of davening where in the Beis HaMikdash you are currently standing. But then Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Sefer Iyan Tefillah, he delineates very clearly what each part of davening corresponds to. And he writes, the 15 Berchas HaShachar correspond to the 15 steps going up from Ezras Nashim into the Sha'ar Niknar. Now, we are about to enter the Sha'ar Niknar. Now, once the Sha'ar Niknar, not everybody was allowed to walk through. Who wasn't allowed to go through the Sha'ar Niknar? The Mishnah says in Kalim, the nations of the world were not allowed entry into the Sha'ar Niknar. That part, the part of davening that corresponds to the gate of Niknar, are Haloi kol ha-giboyrim ka'ayim lefanecha va'anshe Hashem k'loi hoyu. We say all the great nations of the world and all their famous people are nothing before God. You guys, you stay outside. We'll see you later. Catch you later. We're going in. You guys stay out. That is the Sha'ar Niknar. Sha'ar Niknar corresponds to Kol Hagiboyrim Ka'ayin Lefanech. So, the Goyim said they're not happy about that. They said, you Jews, you're not going anywhere. And they run after us and they want to kill us. So we make the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem. Mekadesh Shemoi Barabim. We're ready to give up our life. We're going in. We're leaving you behind. We now enter the area called Ezras Yisrael. In Ezras Yisrael, it's an 11 Amma area. And that's where all the Jews gather and all the Gentiles are behind. This area corresponds to the part of davening when we're mispalel for kibbutz goliyos. V'kayim lanu Hashem loikenu bo'esahi avi eschem. That is Ezras Yisrael. And now we enter the area called Ezras Koyanim. Now, how do you get to the Ezras Koyanim? There are three steps. Those three steps correspond to the three Berchas HaTorah. Lasek v'Divrei Torah, V'Har Evna, Asher Bachar Banu. They take you up those three steps. We now the area of Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach. And what do you think that corresponds to? Karbanos. The area of the Mizbeach obviously corresponds to the Karbanos. So the Karbanos is what's transferring you from the Ezras Yisrael through the Ezras Kohanim to the area of Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach. Now you're ready to really enter. So if you're first rolling into Shul now, we're going to let you in. We're going to accept you in because basically any Jew could come into this area. So, of course, it's better to be preemptive. Of course, it's better to be there earlier. It's better to be around in the Ezras Nashim. But now is the Iker part of Tefillah. And there are another 12 steps. Plus, of course, the floor of the Azara. A total of 13. 13, huh? Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'shalosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem. The 13 hermeneutical principles of exegesis. That's English. You guys know English, no? The 13 principles with which we darshan the Torah of Rabbi Shmuel correspond to the 13 steps that take you up from the Ezras Kohanim until the Ulam. And now we're ready for the big avodah of entering the Ulam. Now it's interesting, why would we say, just as an aside, why does davening begin with Yud Gimel Midos Shehatorah Nidreshes Bohem? Wouldn't it make more sense to say Rabbi Shmuel Omer B'Shalosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem before you open up your Gemara? So you're about to learn Masechta Kedushin, you're about to learn a Masechta. It talks about Gzeira Shava, Kav Choymer. So you say Rabbi Shmuel Omer B'Shalosh Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bohem. But why talk about how to darshan Gemara as an introduction to Shacharis? So it's a very interesting idea. The Malbim writes this in the Eretz Chemda, and the Bnei Yisavschar writes this from the Maggid of Mezrich, that the 13 principles with which we darsh in the Torah correspond to Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And if you want to access one of the Yud Gimel, let's say a person wants to gain the Midah of Kale, so they learn Kal V'Chomer. That's why when Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Kale Na Refa Na La, so God said, you want me to shower on you Midas Kale? So Hashem makes a Kal V'Chomer to Moshe. V'aviha yorok yorak b'faneh haloisi kolim shavas yamim, tikolim Miriam shavas yamim. That if Miriam's father would have shamed her, she would have been locked up for 7 days, all the more so that I'm upset with her, she should definitely be locked up for 7 days. There's an idea that by learning Yud Gimel Midah Shatran and Reshus Behem, it's Ma'oyer Midas HaRachamim, and therefore, as an introduction to the Rachamim of Tefillah, we say the Brayos of Rabbi Shmuel. By the way, just as an aside, you know, the theme of Shacharis is the number 13. Baruch Sha'amar, first you have Brayos of Rabbi Shmuel. Then you have Baruch Sha'amar that has 13 Baruchs. Then you have 13 parts of Psukei de Zimra. Haidu, Yichavai, Mizrach Saida, the Halukas are about 13 parts of Zimra. Then you have 13 Shvachim in Ishtabach. Then you have 13 middle Brachos of Shemone Esrei. The entire davening is Meyusad, is founded on the number 13. But that's for a different occasion. That's the next level. Now we're just trying to get the basics of davening, namely, we're entering the Beis HaMikdash. So we're about to start Psukei de Zimra, and now we have two big doorways. These two doorways are exactly the same size. The Pesach HaUlam, and opposite is the Pesach HaHechal. The Pesach HaUlam is Baruch Sha'amar. The Pesach HaHechal is Yishtabach. Now, just to give you an example, would anybody ever dare walk into the Beis HaMikdash carrying on them V'chelim Yikelim Shainim? No. You got to be out of your mind to bring in. Nobody would ever dare bring a device into the Beis HaMikdash. So why would anybody bring a phone into the Beis HaKnesset? That means the person doesn't understand what they're doing. So they're not really davening. It's like, you know, it's a nice gesture to the general concept of prayer that used to exist among the ancient Hebrews. But it's not actually davening. Davening means you're entering into the Beis HaMikdash. So if you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you have to realize you're in a Makom Kadosh, and you go in and you leave your money belt and your staff and all your important possessions outside. Anyway, I don't think I ever mentioned that before, right? No. Okay. So now, in between the Pesach HaUlam and the Pesach HaHechal, you look up at the ceiling of the Hechal, of the Ulam, excuse me, and interestingly, there were chains that came down from the ceiling. And what were those chains? They're Sharsharois. And the Pirchei Kuhuna would climb up the chains, and on the ceiling of the Ulam was the crown of Zerubbabel, who was supposed to be Mashiach, and he couldn't get the job done. So they put up the crown up there so that when Mashiach comes, he takes the crown from up there. Which means that the doorway is the Baruch Sha'amar is the door of the Ulam, and Yishtabach is the door of the Heichal, and the rest of Psukei de Zimra corresponds to chains. Which then teaches us a very important thing about Psukei de Zimra that we really don't know what it is until we understand how each verse and chapter of Psukei de Zimra is connected to the next one. Reb Schwab has many, many important ideas how Psukei de Zimra is referred to as Negadelcha. We will make you great, but that's not really what it means. Gidul does not mean to make great. Gidul means Gedilim Taselecha. What is Gedilim Taselecha? Tassels. Where the Gemara talks about Miriam Megadel Seyar, Miriam the hair braider. Gidul means a braid. If you study Haidu very carefully, you'll notice that the way Haidu was formulated was we'll take random sukkim from Tanakh, each pasuk has a similar phrase, and we'll take One pasuk from Tehillim here, one pasuk from Tehillim there, one pasuk from Devar Yamim, and we'll braid them together because they all have the word Roimimu. And we'll take three Roimimu psukim and braid them together. Then we'll take three psukim about Nekama and we'll braid them together. Then we'll take three psukim about Yeshua and we'll braid them together. Then we'll take three psukim about Tzivakos and we'll braid them together. Hey, I never realized that. So what we're learning is we have not even begun to think about starting the process of beginning to entertain what tefillah is even all about. And even though we say the words every single day of our life. Because we haven't even noticed that Psuka de Zimra is one theme, and once we get that theme, we come to the next theme, and once we've understood that theme, we're ready to build on it on the next idea. Well, how is the second Hallelujah a deeper awareness of Hashem than the first Hallelujah? I never realized that. That's Gito. That's the chains. So it's just important to be aware that there is even such a concept, and now maybe we whet our appetite a little bit, now maybe we're interested in studying about how the chapters of Sukta Zimra build one upon the other, and now we're ready to enter what is called the Kodesh, the Heichal. Now in the Heichal, there are three main kelim. You have the Shulchan on the right, the Menorah on the left, Shulchan on the north, and the Menorah on the south. Right? The Gemara says, if you want to be wealthy, you face the north during Shemoneh Esrei. If you want to be wise, you face the south. Haroitza lahachkim yajrim. That's why Jews in America like to go to Miami Beach. Haroitza lahachkim yajrim. Jews are always going to the south. You ever see the Avraham holich v'natsaya tzofayna? Avraham Avinu never went to the north ever in the whole Chumash. He's always holich v'natsaya hanegba. The entire Torah, he's always going negba. Even when he went to Mitzrayim and he wanted to go back up to Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't say he went to Safina. It says he went back to the negba of Eretz Yisrael. Now, one time in the whole Chumash did any great person ever go to Safina. All the great people are always going negba. So one reason is because the negev is chachma and the Safina is ashiros. Another reason is because if you're facing Mizrach, and that's Marav, then your right side is Daraim, and your left side is Tzafayim, and this is Midas HaRachamim, Midas HaChesed, and that is Midas HaDin. So Jews, we always go to the right. That's Midas HaChesed. So Avraham Avinu specifically, the Semel of Chesed, he's always going Negba. Fine. So there are three Kalim. You have the Menorah, you have the Shulchan on the right, the Menorah on the left, and the Mizbeach HaKetores. Whoa, wouldn't it be convenient? Imagine if we could somehow get that there are three important tefillos in the Birchas HaShachar. Oh, guess what? There are. You have Yotzer HaMa'oros, you have Ahava Rabba, and you have Krishma. And guess what they correspond to? There are two ways of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. There are two valid ways of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. One way is to recognize God through the physical world, to study nature, to study one's body, to study water. Water is an impossible phenomenon. If you're walking in a desert and you're very thirsty and you're dehydrated, and one guy is selling a bottle of hydrogen and another guy is selling a bottle of oxygen, it's time to call the Chevra Kadisha. Because hydrogen is not going to do anything for you, and oxygen is not going to do anything for you, and if you don't have a laboratory to combine two atoms of hydrogen with one atom of oxygen, you're in big trouble. And the Ribbono Shel, the master chemist, takes two gases, neither of which will ever give you any hydration, and he hydrates you with two gases. That's a great miracle. That's a way to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize God through nature. That is the Shulchan. That is Yoitzer HaMa'oros. Recognizing God through the luminaries. You know, here's the thing. Columbus was sailing to America. Now, by the way, there's no such thing as Christopher Columbus. He didn't exist. In America, cancel culture. Every statue of Columbus has been destroyed in the last, couple of weeks because, who is a bigger Russia Marusha than Christopher Columbus, of course, because he wasn't a liberal. So then he doesn't exist. Anyway, you don't have that over here at cancel culture. You do. You have it. You do. Okay, just checking. So, Chris Burgundy is coming to discover America, and one of the famous expressions were, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Why? Because you can't drink ocean water. You need desalination machines. It's very expensive. So what does God do? God said, it's not a big deal. What we're going to do is we're going to make this big ball of fire, 93 million miles away from planet Earth. It's going to shine down on the oceans. It's going to cause the water from the oceans to rise up out of the sea, leave all the salt behind, and it's going to be carried in these big containers called clouds, and then it's going to come down without any salt. But we say, but we have a problem, because then it's going to rain on the ocean. So God said, I'm going to make big fans, and it's going to blow the clouds over the dry land. How do you make big fans? It's called wind. And Hashem blows all the clouds over the dry land, and it rains, and we have desalinated water. So this is a way to come close to Hashem. This is the Shulchan on the right side. This is the bracha of Yoitzer Hanoiros. But that's not the best way to come close to Hashem. That's not the best way to recognize Hashem. The best way to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning Torah. One comes to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearer, more profoundly, by studying Torah without any side effects, even more than studying nature. And that is the bracha of Ahava Rabba, and that is the menorah on the left side. The menorah is the bracha of Ahava Rabba. Every single day, every Jew in Machshava is a Kohen who's entering the Beis HaMikdash and is studying the various Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, be it the Shulchan. Every day you take a tour of the Shulchan, you take a tour of the Menorah, and then you're at the Mizbeach HaKetoras front and center. What are you makriv on the Mizbeach HaKetoras? Mizbeach HaKetoras are not makriv karbonos. Karbonos are animals. Your makriv ketoras. Ketoras is, so to speak, the offering of the neshama. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes, here's another halacha that I think is not observed properly. When one says Shema, one has to say Shema, ve'ema, uve'yira, uve'reses, uve'zeya. When one says Shema, one should say Shema with awe and fear and trembling and shaking. You gotta shake. You gotta be frightened. You have to be. It's a traumatic. Shema should be a traumatic experience. What are you getting so worked up about? Why is Shema such a traumatic experience? Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Tshuvas HaRashba. Tshuvas HaRashba says on the pasuk ki alecha hayragnu kol hayom, that every day we are killed for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. When one says Shema, they are obligated to imagine that they're giving up their life, al kiddush Hashem, that if ever put to the ultimate test, one would give up their life, al kiddush Hashem. And if a person pictures that and imagines that, it's actually a pretty awe-inspiring, traumatic experience. So that corresponds to the Mizbeach HaKetoras. And then we're ready for redemption. Goal Yisrael corresponds to the Paroichas. And then every single Jew, after washing their hands in the morning, like a kohen from the Kiyar, entering the Ezras Noshim, going up the 15 steps through the 15 Berachos HaShachar, from the Ezras Noshim to the Shaar Niknar, saying the Karbanos, going up the 13 steps through the Rabbi Shmuel Omer, going through the door of the Ulam Baruch Sha'amar, through the door of the Heichal Yishtabach, passing by the Shulchan Yotzer HaMa'oros, passing by the Menorah, Ahava Rabba, passing by the Mizbeach HaKetoras, every Kohen in Klal Yisrael, which means every member of the Jewish people, we're all Mamleches Kohanim. Maybe you can't get the first Aliyah, but that's about all. That's about where your Kahuna does not exist. But regarding the daily Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, every Jew is a full-fledged Kohen, in full regard, and we end up in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Shemoneh Esrei. Now, that's why it's important, even after Shemoneh Esrei, you can't make a mad dash, because you have to take it. You got to leave slowly. And you slowly come out, until by the end of davening, You're back in the Ezras Noshim. By the way, it's interesting. You ever see people running out by Ashrei Uvalitzion, right? You know why? Because all the parnasa that a person davened for actually comes down during Ashrei Uvalitzion. So it's pretty funny how, God, give me money! And then they make a man, and Hashem says, wait, here it is! Maybe tomorrow. Maybe you get it tomorrow. The Hashpa comes down during Ashrei Uvalitzion and during Aleinu. If you look in the Siddur Masak Midrash, it says, Yuridas Hashefa, it comes down by the end of davening. So this is really the basic tenet of Avodas Hashem, of davening. That in a certain dimension, every Jew is a Kohen. Kohen means that our main occupation in this world is we're clergy. We're servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do Avodah every day, not actual Avodah. When you wash your hands with that plastic vessel in your kitchen, that is your kiyar. And when you say the Adonai Olam, when you say all the tefillin before davening, you're in the Ezras Noshim. And the Berachas HaShachar is the 15 Shir HaMalos. The Karbonos is the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Yoitzer HaMa'oros is the Shulchan. Ahav HaRabba is the Menorah. Shema Yisrael is the Mizbeach HaKetoyres. Goal Yisrael is the Parochas. And then, when you get to Shemana Esrei, we all are standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We're not facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we're standing in the Kodesh. Now the Kodesh HaKadoshim is not a frightening place. So we have to be on our best behavior, especially during the Shemana Esrei. And it has to be said with the proper reverence and the proper awe. And if we could take this little chart with us, and think a little bit of how the tefillah that we say every day is really a journey through the holiest place on earth, then when we finish the Shemana Esrei, maybe we'll say with a little bit more kavana, today I entered virtually. Yiratzam ufanecha Hashem elokeinu elokei aviseinu sheyibane beis hamikdash b'mehera b'yameinu, that we should all be zoicha to actually enter the beis hamikdash, and through our coming together tonight, to enhance our appreciation of the tefillah, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us all the opportunity to enter the actual Beis HaMikdash from Her V'Yaminu. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.